Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Couple charged in copper theft. An Odessa couple was arrested Friday in connection with a 2021 indictment charging them with stealing copper and selling it. According to Ector County Sheriff's Office records, last July, investigators realized a tracking device was placed inside a copper wire spool at the Ref Kim Yard on FM 1936 was moving. The device showed the spool stopped at a home in the 1000 block of North Hancock at 10:30 p.m. and was still there at 6:30 a.m. the next day. Investigators watched a man, later identified as Elliot Esparza, 51, load it into a vehicle and drive it to a recycling place on West 16th Street, according to the report. They then observed his passenger, identified as Norma Mendoza, 50, sell the copper wire. Esparza first told investigators he got the copper from his ranch, and then he said it was from his yard on Hancock. The couple was arrested on theft of materials and sale of stolen regulated materials. In addition, Esparza was arrested on suspicion of evading arrest in connection with an October incident. According to an Odessa Police Department report, authorities say Esparza managed to elude them when they tried to pull him over for a few traffic violations. McDonald Observatory holds Dark Skies Festival April 29th to 30th, Fort Davis. The University of Texas at Austin's McDonald Observatory will hold its first Dark Skies Festival April 29th and April 30th, a press release detailed. The festival will include daytime and evening events for the whole family, plus the debut of the new Preserving Dark Skies exhibit in the Frank N. Bash Visitor Center. Both the exhibit and the festival are funded by Apache Corporation. We are eager to welcome the West Texas community to McDonald Observatory and to share information on dark skies preservation, McDonald Observatory Director Taff Armandroff stated in the press release. The productive collaboration with local community groups to establish the Greater Big Bend International Dark Sky Reserve makes this Dark Sky Festival even more meaningful. Daytime events include speakers, tours, outdoor booths, and educational activities, plus live music and food trucks, the press release detailed. All daytime events are free and no reservations are required. Friday afternoon's first talk is Lighting is Right, Solutions to Light Pollution for Oil and Gas. This will be a joint presentation by the Observatory's Dark Skies Initiative Coordinator, Stephen Hummel, and Apache Corporation's Clay Breaches, Executive Vice President Operations. Following that, Emily Card of Sol Ross State University's Borderlands Research Institute will present her talk, Cut the Lights, Artificial Light Pollution and Its Impacts on Birds in the Chihuahuan Desert. Saturday afternoon speakers include the International Dark Sky Association's Betty Maya Foote on the International Dark Sky Movement, followed by Observatory Superintendent Tesney Pugh on the changing face of the night sky from candlelight to satellites. Then astronomer Carl Gebhardt will give an exciting science talk about the Hobby Eberle Telescope Dark Energy Experiment currently underway at McDonald Observatory. Also on Saturday afternoon, telescope open house tours will take visitors behind the scenes to learn about the observatory's largest telescopes from the people who operate and maintain them, the press release stated. Star parties will be held both nights of the festival. Additionally, Friday evening will feature an astrophotography workshop. Saturday evening will include the Twilight program Modeling the Night Sky, a space trivia contest, and more. All evening events require reservations. The highlight of the festival is the launch of the Preserving Dark Skies exhibit funded by Apache Corporation. The exhibit features a multimedia wall and interactive components to educate visitors on how they can keep their skies dark for sky watching and wildlife habitats without compromising light needed on the ground for safety. Over a projected 10-year lifespan, this exhibit will be viewed by 1 million visitors to McDonald Observatory. We are excited to partner with the McDonald Observatory to help bring the farthest points of the night sky into focus for visitors and researchers, Clay Breeches, Executive Vice President, Operations at Apache Corporation, stated in the press release. Our partnership with the observatory is built on mutual respect for our distinct scientific disciplines and the belief that working together will continue to yield better outcomes for both organizations. Our win-win partnership has led to increased education on dark skies-friendly lighting practices, resulting in increased energy efficiency, safer operations, and reduced light pollution. To get more information about the festival and to make reservations for its evening programs, visit mcdonaldobservatory.org/dark-skies-festival. Help! Doctor is not accepting Medicare. Hi, Tony. This week I went to see my primary care doctor, and his office manager informed me that they no longer are accepting Medicare. I recently enrolled in Medicare and will have to pay upfront the complete bill and be reimbursed by Medicare. His office is a small office, and the paperwork is killing him. Also, he will be retiring soon, so I need to find a new doctor. Can you help me with what I need to do to submit this doctor visit and get reimbursed? Thank you so much, Susan of Dallas. Hello, Susan. In this trying healthcare time, smaller medical providers, whether a primary care or a specialist, may be opting out of the Medicare system. They are not accepting Medicare as your doctor is doing and will not bill Medicare for you either. They want you to submit the claim to Medicare and wait to be reimbursed. Did the doctor charge Medicare rates or charge you their rates and want you to be reimbursed from Medicare? What Medicare will pay? That is what it sounds like to me. I am hearing through the Medicare grapevine from clients that come in the Tony Says office for a Medicare consultation that a few older primary care and medical providers are retiring. The office paperwork, whether it is for Medicare patients or under 65 medical claims, is very overwhelming. My advice to clients who are new to Medicare to begin searching for medical providers that are accepting Medicare, especially when a serious health issue is involved. I have not heard of this type of problem with larger medical offices, especially those who are part of a hospital system. Below are tips that the Tony Says Medicare team tells clients, which can help you. 1. Before you set the appointment for your medical visit, ask the doctor's office if they are still accepting Medicare. Most important, that they are accepting new Medicare patients, and will that office bill Medicare directly? If they say no, then you need to decide, do I want to pay out of pocket or get reimbursed what Medicare pays? Doctors know they are not paying their asking rates. Medicare is not the only one who discounts the doctor's bills. Group and individual health insurance plans with network providers also discount the doctor's bills. Or 3. Look for a doctor or specialist that does take Medicare assignment and will bill Medicare. There are doctors and healthcare professionals that still accept and bill Medicare and are accepting new Medicare patients. Even top medical professionals in their specific field still accept Medicare. Ask your primary care doctor for more than one doctor or provider that he or she recommends for your specific medical situation. Here is how to file a claim if your doctor does not accept Medicare assignments. You may have to pay the complete bill and submit the claim to Medicare. Look in the Medicare and the U handbook, which explains how to submit a claim. You need to call 1-800-MEDICARE 633 4227 and ask for form CMS-1490 or go to the www.medicare.gov/Medicare online forms. When you contact Medicare, ask them for help filing the claim, and they will be happy to assist. There are specific Medicare rules regarding changing Medicare plans. Call the Tony Says Medicare hotline at 832-519-8664 or visit the Tony Says website at www.tonysays.com. And that is TONISAYS.com. Stay tuned for the Confused About Medicare workshops coming during Medicare's annual enrollment in the fall. Confused About Medicare Zoom webinar is Thursday, April 28th at 4 p.m. Visit www.tonysays.com to sign up for the Tony Says online webinar event. Today's death notices for April 19th. J. Kelly, Odessa. J. Kelly, 89, of Odessa, died Friday, April 15th in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Wednesday, April 20th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Jimmy Broswell is officiating. Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Julia Ann Leakes, Bedford. Julia Ann Leakes, 91, of Bedford, died Saturday, April 9th in Bedford. Graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, April 20th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Cecil Williams, Midland. Cecil Williams, 92, died Thursday, March 17th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland.
This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled, Biden Shrinks U.S. Land Open for New Oil Gas Drilling, by Jennifer A. DeLuey, Bloomberg. President Joe Biden's administration is dramatically curtailing U.S. public land available for new oil and gas development as it restarts leasing with new environmental protections. The shift is part of a Bureau of Land Management plan to resume selling drilling rights on government-managed federal lands concentrated in the western U.S. When the government holds those auctions, expected later this year, roughly 80% less land will be available for oil and gas leasing, the Interior Department said. Energy companies also will be forced to pay higher royalties for the oil and gas they extract from the newly leased land. The changes, which would ultimately boost the cost of oil and gas development on federal lands, could clash with Biden's efforts to tame persistently high gasoline prices by releasing crude from the nation's emergency stockpile and authorizing wider summertime sales of a cheaper, higher ethanol fuel. For too long, the federal oil and gas leasing programs have prioritized the wants of extractive industries above local communities, the natural environment, the impact on our air and water, the needs of tribal nations, and moreover, other uses of our shared public lands, Interior Secretary Deb Haaland said in a news release. Today, we begin to reset how and what we consider to be the highest and best use of Americans' resources for the benefit of all current and future generations, she said. The new leasing plan, which does not apply to U.S. coastal waters, falls far short of some climate activists' demands that the administration permanently block oil and gas development on public land. The administration's plan to sell new leases is a reckless failure of climate leadership, said Randy Spivak, public lands director at the Center for Biological Diversity. These lease sales should be shelved and the climate-destroying federal fossil fuel programs brought to an end. Oil industry advocates argue the U.S. can't afford to restrict oil and gas development on federal lands and waters that provide nearly a quarter of the nation's crude production. They've argued the U.S. should accelerate domestic oil and gas development amid the war in Ukraine and concerns about Europe's reliance on Russian energy supplies. Ann Bradbury, chief executive officer of the American Exploration and Production Council, called the announcement of new onshore lease sales, the first under Biden, a step in the right direction. But to really unleash American energy, the Biden administration should continue to hold ongoing lease sales, as well as issue permits more expeditiously and provide consistent regulatory certainty, Bradbury said. This article is entitled, U.S. Natural Gas Surges to 13-Year High on Global Supply Crunch, by Stephen Stapchinsky and Gerson Freitas, Jr., Bloomberg. U.S. natural gas prices surged to a 13-year high as robust demand tests drillers' ability to expand supplies. Futures rose as much as 4.8% to $7.652 per million British thermal units on Monday in New York, topping January's short squeeze rally at roughly double levels from the start of the year. The last time prices were this high was 2008, when hurricanes menaced offshore gas platforms in the Gulf of Mexico and searing summer weather stoked demand for power to run air conditioners. Back then, prices only began to drop when the broader economic outlook turned dark ahead of the historic worldwide financial crisis. This year's gas rally has been driven by a global fuel crunch that's rippling across markets as suppliers struggle to meet a post-pandemic surge in consumption, further exacerbated by Russia's war in Ukraine. While U.S. gas prices have remained well below rates in Europe and Asia, thanks to a bounty on shale fields, that discount has been shrinking. Backup inventories held in underground caverns and aquifers are below normal for this time of year, and production is holding flat. Meanwhile, the U.S. is exporting every molecule of liquefied natural gas possible to help Europe reduce its reliance on Russian energy supplies. Below normal temperatures are forecast across parts of the northern U.S. from April 25th to May 1st, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That could increase demand for the heating and power plant fuel, diverting supply that normally goes to storage during this time of year. A shortage of coal in the U.S. has also helped fuel the gas rally, limiting power generators' ability to switch fuels. Inventories grew by 15 billion cubic feet in the week ended April 8th, less than half the average gain for the period over the past 5 years, the Energy Information Administration said last week. Stockpiles remain almost 18% below usual levels. This article is entitled, Oil Gains as Libya Shuts Oil Field Amid Protests Against Its Prime Minister, by Julia Fanzeres, Bloomberg. Oil rose as the shutdown of Libya's biggest oil field strains an already undersupplied market, overshadowing signals that China's drastic pandemic lockdowns are weighing on economic growth. Brent crude futures settled above $83 a barrel for the first time since late March, while West Texas Intermediate oil closed just above $108. Global crude markets face further supply disruptions after demonstrations against Libyan Prime Minister Abdul Hamid Dibiba shut down Sharara, the country's biggest oil field. Protesters also forced two of the North African nation's ports to halt loadings with output halted at the El Feel field. Earlier, prices had been falling on bearish Chinese economic data. The world's second-largest economy reported the biggest decline in consumer spending and its worst unemployment rate since the pandemic emerged, compounding threats to global growth. Oil rallied above $100 this year as Russia's war in Ukraine disrupted an already tight market and prompted some traders to shun Russian crude. The price surge spurred the U.S. and allies to make of millions of dollars of strategic reserves to quell inflationary pressures. Nevertheless, global supplies remain tight, with the European Union considering banning Russian crude and OPEC Plus standing firmly against accelerating production increases. A key oil market indicator suggests that bullish sentiment is rising. Brent's so-called prompt spread, the difference between its two nearest contracts, surged to $1.15, up from 21 cents a week ago. Any embargo decision by the EU would be a catalyst for even higher oil prices, said Pavel Molchanov, an analyst at Raymond James & Associates, Inc. Realistically, it would not be viable to replace all of the crude that would be disrupted from a European Union ban on Russian crude. Russia's Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak said last week that if more nations banned Russian energy flows, prices may significantly exceed historic highs. The U.S. and U.K. have moved to bar crude from the country in retaliation over Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. In a weekend phone call, Russian President Vladimir Putin and Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman gave a positive assessment of their efforts to stabilize the oil market, suggesting that no change in production policy is likely. The two nations lead the alliance that groups the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its partners, known as OPEC Plus. Oil's surge this year has been part of a wider advance in energy commodities that's seen prices extend gains, even as the outlook for global economic growth dims. This article is entitled Permian Basin Explorers Drill Deep into Frack Log, Leaving Shelves Bare, by David Weth and Sheila Tobin, Bloomberg. Shale explorers in the Permian Basin chewed further into their supply of ready-made wells for a 20th straight month, leaving the smallest inventory of low-cost wells in America's biggest oil field in more than half a decade. The number of wells that have been drilled and await a frack crew to complete them, also known as DUCs, stood at 1,309 last month, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration's Drilling Productivity Report. The lowest number of DUCs in West Texas and southeast New Mexico since February 2017 could eventually lead to a lag on new oil output hitting the market, as producers must now call on more drilling rig crews to start the new well process. 2 years after the worst crude crash in history, producers are focused on completing existing wells to increase output, cutting further into the so-called frack log. Now, publicly traded explorers are hesitant to boost spending on drilling so that they can instead grow dividends and buy back shares, even with oil trading over $100 a barrel. The agency revised its estimates for oil production volumes from the Permian Basin to be lower than it thought last month.
Naps can be a boon for night shift workers. Dear Dr. Roach, naps are a big part of the day for most of my adult friends. Please comment on their significance and any techniques that increase their value. What are good times of a day to nap? What about length of naps? NMG. Answer, some people do very well with naps, others do not. In general, I don't advise people for or against naps unless they are having sleeping problems. But being an evidence-driven physician, I would note that there is evidence that short naps, situated not too close to a person's regular bedtime, have been shown to reduce fatigue and improve concentration. The optimal length of a nap seems to be about 20 minutes. Longer than that, and there is a higher risk of a condition called sleep inertia, which is the period of sleepiness and poor brain performance when you first wake up. This can be quite long for some people after a prolonged nap. Naps also can help regulate a person's sleep-wake cycle, especially for night shift workers, either night before or during the shift, if possible. Businesses might do better to allow a break for a 20-minute nap, as there is evidence that it can improve productivity among night shift workers.
This is the Dear Abby column. Woman runs out of patience with boyfriend's addiction. Dear Abby, I have been with my boyfriend for 5 years. We do not live together, nor do we share any children. We have 3 grown kids from previous marriages. He has been a smoker since he was very young, and when we got together, he said he would like to quit. Well, it still hasn't happened. As the child of an addict, alcohol, I understand how difficult quitting can be. Luckily, my father quit cold turkey 20 years ago and never relapsed. Abby, I do not want a future with a smoker. The smell of stale tobacco is unappealing. It's not exactly a breath freshener, and the health consequences are dire. Am I within my rights to put my foot down? I brought up quitting this week in response to him lamenting that he looks aged beyond his years, which is true. He became very defensive and made me seem like a monster for asking for a real timeline about quitting. He struggles with anxiety and thinks trying to quit will send him over the edge, and I would be the one pushing him. How do I navigate future conversations? Signed, Choking in Pennsylvania. Dear Choking, tell your boyfriend you care about him and about his health, but watching him damage it because of his tobacco addiction. If he doesn't already know that the smell on his breath, body, and clothing is offensive, point it out, and also that secondhand smoke is unhealthy for you. Then tell him he has a choice to make. It's the smoking or you. The decision is his. There are many effective smoking cessation programs available, and he should discuss them with his physician, who may be delighted to know he is interested. P.S. In this day and age, many women and men simply swipe left if they encounter a smoker. Dear Abby, I am currently in a relationship that is approaching the 7-year mark. We dated in our 20s and rekindled in our 40s. We live together, but I'm afraid we are growing apart. Due to health issues, I don't work. He works second shift. I cry easily and have always been an emotional person. When there are disagreements, we can usually work it out. My problem is, I think I have more to say or ask. He then tells me we have already talked about it and he's not discussing it again. He says I, quote, overanalyze everything, unquote. It's not just that. I just have another question or something I left out. His refusal to talk makes me feel as though things are unresolved. He just downright won't talk about something we have already discussed. Please help me to understand if I am too demanding and should just leave it alone. Signed, Unanswered in Illinois. Dear Unanswered, it isn't too demanding to want to discuss something further. If revisiting the issue would rekindle the disagreement, your partner is far too controlling. If you have a question, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to ask without it leading to conflict. To deny you that opportunity seems disrespectful. Give it more time after a disagreement and decide if it's really necessary to revisit the subject. When you do, avoid reapproaching it in a way that could be perceived as an invitation. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.